Closer Walk series. We've talked about growth. Tonight we want to look at desiring growth. Not everyone desires to grow, do they? But in Ephesians chapter 4, we look in Ephesians chapter 4. I've got one in here somewhere. Right behind Philippians here. Ephesians chapter 4, beginning in verse 14. That we, henceforth, be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men, and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. You know, growth is something that each of us strives for and desires to experience. Certainly, when Scott started his business, he was not just hoping that he just might get by, but that the business might actually grow. Grow into something that would be able to enable him to be able to support and take care of his family. Amen? You have your jobs, and I can't imagine anybody taking on a job simply saying, well, I'm just glad to have my foot in the door, and I don't care if I go up or down, just as long as I stay. No, you're hoping that as the company grows, you get to grow with it. Oftentimes, that's why people would start with a small company and put their time in, even though it may be kind of a little iffy along the way there. But as the company grows, the idea is that you get to grow with it. You get to grow salary-wise. You get to grow in experience-wise. You get to grow in maybe your role within that company. But certainly, as parents, we desire for our children to grow. Amen. We don't want to have to be taking care of babies all our lives. And I've run into parents who have been taking care of babies that have started out just as little-born infants in the cradle and having to be nursed, and now they're full-grown, physically speaking, but mom and dad are still picking up after them. Although that's not a good thing, amen? Unless there's something physically that demands it along the way, but just someone who wants to be lazy and doesn't want to work and said, hey, listen, you know what? Mom and dad will take care of me the rest of my life. I'll let them do it. And that's the way it goes. So as parents, we desire for our children to grow physically. As parents, I know that we do, because we'll say, well, my child at the age of 9 months began to walk. Well, hey, that's nothing. Mine began to walk at 6 months old and something else. Someone said, well, I didn't walk until I was 2 years old. Anyway, we're glad to make a progress. Amen. We're glad that we don't have to carry them from point A to point B and this place to that place there. And glad they're growing and potty trained, because that's the last thing in the world you want to do. Amen. But my child, blank, at such an age. So it shows that we're proud of the progress they're making, that they're physically growing. How about mentally? My child is an honor roll student at school, and you see the bumper stickers out there all the time there. My mom and dad never had one on theirs, at least not when I was around. My child is a handful. They might have been that bumper sticker that they had on there when it came down to it. But we're proud about how they're making progress mentally and learning to maybe tie their own shoes, or at least be able to take the Velcro on and off and move it back and forth one way or the other. Or spiritually. You know, this is an area, though, that bothers me the most, because not all parents get excited in this area. Now, we're talking about the kids that are reading the Bibles, and we just pray that, listen, as young as they are now, getting up in the morning and reading their Bibles, that would be something that would carry through all the way through their lives. But, you know, then we come along, we say, yeah, well, you know, that's not going to last very long, preacher. You know, that's not going to, it can. It can if we pray hard enough. It certainly can if we encourage it enough. And we show them that falling in love with the Lord, and this is one of the processes we fall in love with him, is by learning all we can about him. And so it's possible. Now, not all parents get excited in this area. We ought to be very excited about it, but we seem to put a lot of our efforts and energy into the physical aspect and into the mental aspect of it, but we don't really think altogether spiritually as we ought to. So as individuals, we want to grow in knowledge. So we are at least better equipped for our jobs, better parents, hopefully desiring to be better believers and making progress in our spiritual lives. Now, you certainly don't want to be saved 5 years and still not know much more than you did when you were first saved, or 10 years not know much more than you did when you were first saved. So the reality is that growth is necessary in all areas of life, in all areas of business, in all areas of science and industry. That's the idea. That's why you start a company. That's why you begin to build an industry, because you want it to grow. You want it to prosper, because as it prospers, you prosper, and those you hire will also prosper as it moves forward. So reality is that growth is necessary in all areas of life, in all areas of business, science, and industry. So as parents, it is exciting, is it not, to watch our children grow and mature? In the area of sports, as parents, we take our kids out to the soccer fields and the basketball courts and stuff when they're really little. When they bounce the ball's halfway as high as they are already, and they're out there trying to kick the ball and stuff. And you begin to see they're tripping over it and they're falling all over it and doing all kinds of silly things out there. But then they get better at it. And they become more proficient at it. And as a parent, you really enjoy that as you're sitting on the sidelines watching your kids begin to actually mature, physically being able to handle the rigors of the sport, becoming more coordinated to be able to handle the various nuances of the sport along the way. And so it's exciting to watch our children grow and to mature as they begin to take on more responsibilities in taking care of themselves now. You need to go take a shower. Make sure you wash your hairs and wash behind your ears. I'm going to check when you come out. Well, there's a time when you hopefully have to stop saying, make sure you wash your hair and clean behind your ears. Amen. They begin to take care of themselves. They begin to take care of their clothes and the things that they have in their possession. Feeding and dressing themselves, entertaining themselves, reading, writing, etc. You don't have to read to them all the time. Now they can pick up their own book and they can read. And because you have older children, they learn to read and they can read to the younger ones. And isn't that a blessing along the way? All right. But Peter likens our spiritual growth to this very same process of a baby becoming a toddler, and a toddler a child, and a child becoming a preteen, and a preteen a teen becoming a pre-adult, and so on all the way. And watching them begin to take charge of their lives and be able to sit down and know, listen, I got to crack the books and study, and I got to work hard to get good grades, or being able to just do the things that now that are commensurate with their ages. And of course, he says in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk. Notice that word desire is in there. You don't have to tell them. You don't have to set an alarm by the crib for the baby to wake up and say, listen, now at 2 o'clock you're going to need to be fed, and at 5 o'clock you're going to need to be fed. You don't set a clock for that, do you? They become your clock. They will tell you when they're ready. And when they began to cry out in the middle of the night, it's because either they want to be changed or they want to be fed, or both. Usually it's both. Amen? So he encourages us to understand that there needs to be that desire as newborn babes. Desire the sincere milk of the word, the singleness of God's word, that ye may grow thereby. There's spiritual growth. Listen, God, just like you expected to see growth in your child, God expects to see growth in you and I. But he says there in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18, which follows in that same chapter, he says there, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Listen, that is something that God expects, to grow in grace in the knowledge of our Lord. That idea of grace, that within the grace of God is available to us the knowledge that we need to have concerning God. Now, having the right information is vital to the right growth God expects. Amen? I mean, having the right information for anything. I mean, you certainly don't want to get out a Ford manual to repair a Chevy. Although you ought to throw the both manuals in the junk and throw the cars with them and get... No, I'm just kidding. If you're a Chevy man, that's great. But, I mean, you want to get the right manual for the right vehicle. And you certainly don't want to be looking at the rear end if you've got a problem with your front end. You certainly don't want to be looking for something on your brakes when you got a problem with the engine. Right information is important, isn't it? Very much so. It's the same thing when you're doing cooking or whatever else it is. Have the right information. Certainly, if you're going to make a cake, you don't want a bread recipe. Any reason. So 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 17, which follows, precedes rather verse 18, I'll tie these together. He says there, ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. There should be a steady process of growth, a progression of spiritual maturity in our lives. And that can't happen if you don't crack the book. You just can't. You can go into college, and you're not going to move forward from the first year to the second year if you don't crack the books, find out what's in the books, and find out what's going on in the class, and take the test and provide the right answers to the questions. Then you make progress. But you can't simply, well, listen, I'm paying my tuition here. I should just be able to sit here and just kind of coast through my 4 years here, and at the end get a degree. Well, maybe they ought to hand you a blank degree. Since you didn't do anything, you didn't earn anything, so here's a piece of paper. And that's what you get. So he says, ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. And then he goes on in verse 18, he says, but grow in grace. If we're going to go, if we're going to remain steadfast and immovable and abounding in the work of the Lord, we must grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. How else are you going to know what he expects? If you as a mom and a dad don't tell your children what it is you expect out of them in this academic school year or what you expect of them around the house, how are they supposed to really know? You think they're really going to go through and pick up their socks or pick up the laundry or do the dishes or clean the table or cut the grass outside unless you say, listen, this is your job. Every Tuesday night or whatever night that you may set the chores aside on this night, you know, in our house we had chore charts. And it was nine of us kids. Now, Jeff, the youngest one, was too little to do those. But my mom had the chores for every night of the week. So one night, one of us picked up and cleared the table, swept the floor and all that. And the other one washed the dishes. The other one dried and put the dishes away. Then it would flip around. And another night, they would kind of move until they would kind of cycle out there. Then on Saturday, we had chore charts. You will clean your room and you will clean off all the linen off your bed. They're all going to get washed. You'll hang them out there. You'll clean your windows in your bedroom. My mom was a stickler for that. And it wasn't like we had nice little window panes. They had to have these jalousy windows. Jalousy windows, don't ever put them in your house. They're a pain in the neck. There's a lot of them. And they're not easy to clean along the way. But anyway, those are things that we had to choose. We just knew that before we get out of once we get out of bed in the morning, we weren't just free to burst through the door and head out there and go out there and play sandlot baseball, football, or whatever the season it was. No, before you get out there, you had chores. So there were expectations. Clean the yard, take care of the yard, take care of the housework that needed to be done in here. Whether you made the mess or not didn't make a difference. This was your area, this was your chore, you get it done. Your job. And we weren't to go anywhere until they were all done. And so we have to understand that God has an expectation that's for us to grow in knowledge. And so what is God's fail-safe mechanism to prevent verse 17 from happening? That is a falling away from our steadfastness. It's verse 18. That is to grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the fail-safe. When I say that's the knowledge-wise, we still have to obey it, don't we? So as we'll see as we get along here. So as parents with children, we want them to have the right information. And that means that they and we must have the right source of that information. And before you give counsel and advice to your parent, to your children, make sure you know that that's what God's word really does say. Don't just assume you think you know. So we want them to have knowledge about life, its origins. Amen. We know they're going to be in school. We know they're going to be inundated with evolution. We know they're going to be exposed to humanism and socialism and communism and all the other isms that are there. But we want our children to know that in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. So we want them to have the right knowledge about that in spite of what the world is teaching. Knowledge about life values. Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 21. Just to turn there very quickly. This is concerning the values of life. Matthew chapter 6. Now we want them to go out and have a good education, get a great college education, a great degree. And our reason for that is that we want them to be able to have a great paying job, making lots of money, and being able to have a great big house and have all the things that maybe you and I never could have. But would you really want that at the expense of Jesus Christ? They can have all that stuff and be just like all those people out in Hollywood. Some of those people out there, they have so much money, they don't know what to do with it. You have some athletes out there, they make more money in 5 years than all of us combined together will probably see in our lifetimes. And yet, you know what? A lot of them aren't very happy. Many of them go through half a dozen marriages looking for that happiness that money cannot buy. So we've got to be very careful about life's values, don't we? Matthew chapter 6, verse 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Listen, we can't expect our children to get so caught up into the things of the world, the educational system and the world's values, and then turn around and expect them to come in and have a relationship with God. Because they're so focused on the things of the world, and the world can be very demanding. So much so that the devil, he wants us to take that time and that which belongs to God and give it to the world. We need to make sure that they understand, listen, it's okay to be a success in the world, but it's better to be a success in your walk, in your relationship with God, so that the success in the world will be an enjoyable success. I can't believe that these Hollywood types or anyone else, whether in politics or not, going through these divorces and marriages and divorces and marriages and divorces and marriages, and each time thinking that this is where they're going to find happiness. How foolish can they be? Because if it didn't find it the first time, they're assuming that this one person is going to make them really happy. And there is one person who can really make you happy. That's the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So how about knowledge about marriage and family? The right source of information. Do you want your kids learning about marriage and life and sex from your peers and from people at school? No, you don't really want to. So, you know, we want to grow in that knowledge, that we have that knowledge, and that they have the right source. God's word is always the right source on family, on marriage, even on sex, and on money and worldly possessions. So if our lives are to have any degree of success in these areas, then we must seek it from the right source. John chapter 14, verse 26, talking about the Holy Spirit. John chapter 14 and verse 26. And Jesus, now this is Jesus in chapter 14. He began the chapter by saying them not to be worried. He says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. He's beginning to tell them he's going to leave them in just a few short hours. He'd be leaving them. He'd be going home to his heavenly Father. Doubting Thomas was a little bit confused. His answer to Thomas was verse 6. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father. But he says this, even though I'm going to go, in verse 26, he says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Listen, the Word of God and the combination of the Holy Spirit that indwells us as believers is the right source of all things, family, marriage, sex, money, worldliness, all things. This is the right source, right here. So, the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name. So he said, I'm not going to leave you. He promised him, I'm not going to leave you comfortless. He said, I'm going to send you the Comforter. So if we have this idea or this notion that the Bible can't teach me what I need to know about life, then your only source is the world. And while you and I can find some help there, the world can never help us to put life in its true perspective. What have you actually taken and learned from the world that's helped you to put your life in perspective? Well, if you want to think that your great-great-great-great-great-great-great-granddaddy and grandmommy swung from trees with tails and things like that, that's fine. It's just not reality. So it doesn't help us to put all things in perspective, because if I'm the result of a process of evolution, then I really have no purpose. Therefore, life has no purpose. Therefore, life really has no value. Big whoop. So, 1 Corinthians chapter 1. The Apostle Paul speaking about worldly wisdom in verse 19. He says, for your obedience has come abroad unto all men. I am glad, therefore, on your behalf, but yet I would have you wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil. And the God of peace shall... Oh, that's not even making sense to me. I think that's... So where is my wise? There's wise in here, but that's what we're looking for. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 19. Whew. Now my head's spinning. Anyway, it says, for it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. So Paul said that the wisdom of God surpasses the wisdom of the world. In fact, he will actually take the wisdom of the world and it will work against you, because the wisdom of the world sets itself against the wisdom of God. It usually is diametrically opposed, or it is completely inverted from God's wisdom. What God says is wise, the world would look at and say, that's stupid. How we feel is the smart thing, but what you believe as a Christian, you're stupid. Well, we know that that's not true. We know that God's wisdom surpasses the world's wisdom. Romans chapter 1 and verse 22 says, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. So remember Solomon's search, far and near, high and low, no expense barred, no experience left undone, nothing rejected, and in all of this life was vanity. Imagine that if you had all the money in the world to buy whatever you wanted, to do whatever you wanted, to go wherever you wanted, to learn whatever you wanted, to just buy anything, had you win. Could you imagine a life like that? Solomon had that life, and he says to us, It was empty. Oh, it was cool for a moment. But you have seen that same experience with your children at Christmas. For months leading up to Christmas, they would sit there, gotta have, want. Everything was flashed across at Christmas time. They wanted it. We sat there and did the same thing. Oh, I didn't have television in my day, so I just had to go by the store and drool over the windows. But the kids would sit there, and then they could tell almost immediately what the commercial was all about. Oh, mommy, can I have that for Christmas? Oh, mommy, can I have that for Christmas? They get it for Christmas, and within a week, it's sort of like it's old hat. It's old news. The wanting of it was more fulfilling than the actual possessing of it. Now, that's not so with the Lord. And so Solomon searched with that mentality. And he said that life was really vain. It was vanity, empty, without purpose, hollow, devoid of satisfaction, because the central purpose of man and his life, Solomon says, is wrapped up in this inescapable truth of Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion, he says, of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole, not the half, not the fraction, not the part, but he says, for this is the whole duty of man. We have been created for that, and when we are fulfilling and reaching out for that which we have been created, you know, you've heard about certain kinds of dogs. Certain kind of dogs are bred for certain things. Now, if it's a working dog, like a sheep herding dog, then that dog is not content unless it's got a lot of activity going on, isn't it? I mean, they'll tell you this, and you can look on the charts and say, this dog needs it's a lot of energy, and it needs. Other dogs are just lazy dogs. They're kind of like jello on four legs. You know, that's all they are. Other dogs are just full of all kinds of high energy, and you had better be one of those individuals who, you know, you like to go out and throw the frisbee or tug of war, whatever it is. You know yourself, you're going to have to be very active because the dog's going to be very active. Amen? And so that dog was bred for a purpose. They were bred for either hunting or sheep herding or maybe certain aspects of hunting, and some were just made for companionship along the way. So they had different utilitarian use. The same thing with horses. And let's face it, they were bred for a reason. We were created for a reason. And unless we're reaching out and fulfilling that reason, we're not going to really find the satisfaction we're looking for. And we were created to glorify God, to live for God, to represent God. When we're doing that, that's when we feel fit. That's when we feel the most complete. When we feel like we have the most purpose. And only the foolish believe or think that they can reinvent the wheel. Hey, listen, didn't work for him, but I think... Don't you just love that every generation seems to think they can reinvent the wheel? Here we are in America today. We're at a point... Listen, when our forefathers left Europe and came here, it was for... to get away from tyranny, dictatorship, ruthlessness. They came here to get away from all of that. And here we are, 2013, we're heading smack dab right back into all that garbage again. You know why? Because there's a generation that thinks that they're smarter than their forefathers. They're a bunch of idiots. You would think that they could go back and look at history, learn something from history and say, let's not go back that way again. Let's continue the tradition. But no, you know what? They think they've got the answer. And those who follow them are dumber than they are. I'm going to come right down for it. Amen? I didn't mean to get political, but it just worked its way in there. And so, spiritual growth is necessary for all of us, and it needs to be well-rounded, balanced growth. And that's where we'll pick up, not next Wednesday, but the following Wednesday, because VBS next Wednesday. So, you're more than welcome to come join us during Vacation Bible School. Meander around and maybe kind of get involved a little bit somewhere along the way. Amen? Father, we just thank you for this time that we can be together. Lord, understanding, Lord, that it isn't always the desire of each of our hearts to want to grow. Lord, there's times we're tired, mentally tired, physically tired. Lord, in some cases, even exhausted, wrestling and dealing with sin. But oh Father, tonight we just pray that the Holy Spirit will continue to excite us and to ignite us, and there will be a desire for spiritual growth. Lord, that we every single day, if we lived 1,000 or more lifetimes, Lord, we still would not exhaust the riches and the depth of the Word. So Father, we just pray, Lord, give us that desire. Encourage us and strengthen. Lord, sometimes trials and tribulations and adversity and adverse circumstances are the means that you use to drive us to you. We're not from it, but to drive us to it. And Lord, how weak we are when we turn around and we're going through trials, we're going through tribulations, we're going through difficulties. And Lord, we turn away from your word and we turn away from the fellowship of believers. And Lord, that's not a solution. That's just carnal laziness. Father, we need to step up to the plate and say, these are the times that, Lord, I'm going to grow. And by your grace, I'm going to learn. I'm going to learn to trust. I'm going to learn to have confidence. Lord, I'm going to learn to follow your leadership. And Lord, may each and every one of us have that desire to grow in grace and in knowledge of Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. And Father, we'll give you the praise and the honor and glory in Jesus' name. Amen.